We are on week two of Talking to the Ladies. Pastor Nate started last week speaking to the ladies, and then the 4 weeks before that spoke to the men. And has this been an incredible series? Have you guys been enjoying it? It's been stretching and growing, I know for sure. We've heard a ton of stories. But we're going to jump right into the Word, so if you wouldn't mind standing back up. We're going to be reading from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. And this is actually written for the king's son. It was this, to set the standard for him to be able to find a wife. So it's not two women, but it's about a godly woman. And so we have a lot to read, so just bear with me. We're going to start in verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. He says, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates." Thank you, Jesus, for letting us be here today in your house, God. Thank you for everyone arriving here safely. I pray that we have our eyes are open and our hearts are receptive to the word that you have for us today. God, speak through me and let the people fill you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Sorry, I made a mess with the water. Okay, are you ladies ready for this? And men, this is good for you too, because it keeps us accountable, like we've been doing with the men. It's keeping having the women here with the men are supposed to be is helping us all grow. So this is good for men too. And if you're single man, then this will be good for you to find this godly, a godly woman for you, for your wife. So, all right, women, as we know, we wear a ton of titles. We wear the titles of mom and wife and friend and leader and daughter, coworker, probably more titles than that. But there's one title that outweighs them all, and that's the title of woman of God. That is who we were created to be. We live in a world that constantly tells women to be more, to do more, be more successful, more independent, be more flawless. But Proverbs 31 that we just read, that big chunk of scripture, paints a different picture. It describes this woman who has her heart anchored in the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. So the message title today is Becoming a Proverbs 31 Woman, and how to be fully devoted to Jesus in such a way that it overflows into how we love and support and serve our husbands and our families and those around us. Because the truth is, the best way to love your husband and love your family is to have Jesus at the center of it all. At the center of it all. That is our goal. That is what we're striving for. In this passage in Proverbs 31, it's not a checklist to make us feel like we're failing. It's easy to look at that and say there is no way, but it's just meant to paint a portrait for us. It's meant to inspire us to strive to be that godly woman. It's a picture of what happens when a woman's life is fully surrendered to God. And so today, I want to pull out a few truths from this scripture. We obviously can't cover it all today. We would be here for hours, but we're going to do a few, and a few scriptures that teach us how to be fully devoted followers of Jesus as women. So what is exactly this Proverbs 31 woman, you may be asking? Well, she is hardworking and she serves with joy. Verse 13 says, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. And then 17 says, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Her strength is not about muscle. It's about mindset. She serves with joy because she knows who she is really serving. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. So ladies, when we're folding laundry and we're packing lunches and we are, I'm trying to think of different stages of life. Give me something. Dirty diapers, cooking, hey. The Lord needs to help me on that one. Driving kids around. What about whenever your kids are out of the house? What would be something that would be relatable? Cleaning. Picking up your husband's underwear, maybe. Do they still do that at the age of 60? I don't know. Hopefully not. What is it, men? Finally... be adults at 35 or something, 30? So you got 30 years, if you're 60, you should be picking up your underwear at least. Anyways, we're not just doing it for other people. We're doing it for Jesus. We're serving Jesus. And when our motive shifts from I have to I get to, our homes go from heavy to holy. In verse 15, it says, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. This verse, having four children, really checked me recently when I was reading it a few months ago, because there's been so many times where I'm up at night and Nate's snoring away. But this verse is telling me that that's my role. It's sometimes easy to get bitter about being like the point person of the homemaker being the point person of just taking care of the home and making sure that everything in the home is functioning properly while our husbands possibly get to enjoy hot meals and a silent meeting, maybe without the kids being around for a moment. They probably are getting more sleep than we are in most stages. In life, and I feel like when my mom told me this, when you become a mom, you never sleep again. Doesn't matter what stage you're at. So it's kind of where we're at. But I feel like the Bible is really putting it into perspective to change our posture on this, because we have to believe that we're designed to be that, and that it's our great honor and a contribution to our families to get to do that. We often hear that a woman's place is the home, but it's not so much our place as it is our priority. We're not required to be a stay-at-home mom, but we are responsible for caring for it. And you can actually do both. You can care for your home and have a job. It's not saying that you can't work, ladies. It just means that the home is your default priority. Everybody has a role in life, and that is our role. Just as much as the provision is the husband's priority, which also doesn't mean that he has to bring in more money. That is his sole role, is to make sure that he is providing. That's his role, and ours is the home. So where this has to be in order is if our home and our family are out of order and not doing well, then it becomes our priority as the respectful helper to own that part, to care for it, and to get it back in order. We're going to jump to verse 25. It says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come." So what else is a Proverbs 31 woman? We know she's hardworking and is joyful. Now she is clothed in strength, with strength and dignity. And we're just going to break down what that means. Clothed means her character covers her. The word clothed here is not about physical garments, obviously. It's about what she wears spiritually and emotionally. Just like the clothes are what people first see, her character is actually her covering. It means that her strength and dignity are also so visible that they cover her entire being. So that is what clothed is, covering her entire being. Strength means rooted in God and not self. This is not about being tough or independent. It's spiritual resilience and God-given confidence. Strength means that she's steady in storms, anchored in faith, and able to endure trials with grace. So that's what strength is. And then dignity is knowing who you are in God. Dignity means worth, honor, and self-respect, but not pride. It's walking in the quiet confidence of knowing whose you are. She doesn't chase validation or beg for attention. She already knows that she's valuable to her Creator. Dignity gives her boundaries, discernment, and grace. It shows up in how she speaks and carries herself and treats others. In other words, she knows she's the daughter of the King, so she acts like royalty. Not in arrogance, but in assurance. The strength and dignity she wears are not designer labels, but they're the fruit of her devotion. She's strong because she's fully surrendered. Hi, Grandma. So a Proverbs 31 woman is hardworking and joyful. She's clothed and with strength and dignity, and she speaks with wisdom and kindness. I'll give you a second to write that down. Verse 26, it says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Wives, this is where being fully devoted to Jesus really shows up, in how we talk. When the pressure's on, when your husband's stressed, when you disagree, wisdom and kindness are our greatest weapons. The Proverbs 31 woman doesn't just know when to speak, she knows how to speak. Sometimes wisdom means holding your tongue, and sometimes kindness means saying the thing, but with the right posture, with the soft heart. So when your husband feels your words come out of a place of respect and not resentment, it really changes everything. It changes the atmosphere of your home. It changes the relationship between you and your husband. So girls, let's use words that build and not break. Whether that's to our husbands or to our families or to our coworkers. Verse 12 says, "She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." And then verse 11, right before, says, "Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." So a Proverbs 31 woman is a safe place. You are meant to be a safe place, loyal and trustworthy and consistent. So single girls, Be a woman who brings good to your friends and your family and your community. And married girls, be a wife who your husband can trust both emotionally and spiritually. Her husband's heart trusts her. Why? Because she's a safe place. A fully devoted wife is one who speaks life over her husband, not death, who prays more than she complains, who covers him instead of criticizes him. Ladies, we set the atmosphere in our homes with our words. We do. That's our calling. We can either invite peace or we can invite tension. If we want our husbands to be strong leaders, we can't tear down what we're asking God to build up. Build him up. We're going to do that this week, aren't we, girls? Let's do a challenge. Once a day, we're going to speak encouragement to our husbands. And if you're not married, then find someone that irritates you, that speak encouragement to them. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when they're smacking too loud or their breath stinks. You know what, babe? I had the weirdest compliment to Nate the other day. I said, I like your blonde hair on your legs. But sometimes you like, I wonder, I'm like, what are the little things that like he thinks it's cute, you know? So just say it. Encourage him. If it's his hairy legs or, I don't know, his nice breath, hopefully. But our words are seeds. And we're going to eat the fruit of what we plant into the people, into our husbands. So let's speak with wisdom and kindness. A Proverbs 31 woman. Also, her life inspires honor and leaves a legacy. Verse 28 through 29 says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So when a woman loves Jesus deeply and walks in his ways, it shows. Not because she demands honor, but because her life automatically draws it out. When you love and respect your husband, when you honor God in your home, you become a living testimony that God's way still works. His way is better. You make submission look like strength. You make faithfulness look beautiful. You make devotion look powerful. A Proverbs 31 woman's influence outlives her. Her faith becomes her family's inheritance. So girls, us as godly women, we don't just make memories. We make an impact that lasts for generations to come. In verse 30, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So to be a Proverbs 31 woman, she fears the Lord above all. Above all. Now, fearing the Lord doesn't mean being afraid of God. It means being in awe of him. Everything the Proverbs 31 woman does, her work, her words, her home, flows from one thing, the fear of the Lord. She doesn't just believe in God, she reveres him. What does revere mean? It means to feel deep respect or admiration for something. So you don't fear him, you have a deep respect and admiration for him. She walks with him, she trusts him with everything. This is a Proverbs 31 woman. When our hearts are devoted to Jesus first, we're able to love our husbands and friends and families in ways that reflect his love. It will just pour out. Because you can't pour out what you haven't filled up. So before you speak, speak to God. Before you react, worship. Right now, one of my go-tos for a cranky child that I have in the morning is to find headphones, put on worship music for him, and tell him, speak with God and get your heart right. Because everyone's going to be annoying until you do that. And also eat breakfast. But it's so important to start your day with Jesus to get your heart posture right. It can be immediately in the right place at the very beginning. You know when you slept past your alarm and you've turned it off and then you're rushing all day and literally your whole day just thrown off because you woke up rushing. So let's just be disciplined to spend time with Jesus in the morning to get our heart posture in the right place, and then our whole day is going to flow much better. So before you react, worship. Before you correct, connect with the Lord. You can't be a godly wife and a woman without first being a devoted disciple. That is the Proverbs 31 woman, a Lord-fearing, devoted disciple, fully devoted. Maybe today you're thinking, there is no way I can live up to this woman. This is way far beyond my reach. And honestly, you can't. Neither can I. Because Proverbs 31 is not a checklist. It's just a calling. Not a checklist, a calling. It's not perfection. It's devotion. It's the picture of what happens when Jesus is at the center. When he's the center of your heart, you'll love differently. When he's at the center of your word, you'll speak differently. When he's at the center of your marriage, you'll live differently. So let's be women who love Jesus so deeply that our husbands can feel it, our children can see it, and our homes are changed because of it. Can we do that? Can we strive to be a Proverbs 31 woman? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word and the example of a Proverbs 31 woman, someone to strive to be. Teach us, God, to hear you first, to fear you first, to love you deeply so that love overflows from our hearts naturally, so that love will overflow into our marriages and into every aspect of our lives. Help us build up our husbands, our families, our co-workers, our friends with our words, and to serve with joy and walk with strength and dignity. Lord, make our homes and our character reflections of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we give it up for Kendall this morning? Something I want to do right now while we're still in this atmosphere with every eye closed, every head bowed for just a moment. Knowing that Jesus has a calling for all of us. He has a purpose. He has a plan. To know that you are not just, you know, some scientific creature that was placed on the earth for no reason, but yet you have an assignment by God. Something specifically designed for you and nobody else. When you understand that, you know that God has given you a calling, an assignment. You live your life with meaning. You live it with purpose, knowing that you're doing what you're called to do. Life becomes this place of abundance, of joy, of peace. Doesn't mean you don't face trials, but it means that you have hope in the middle of it. Maybe in this room today, or maybe you're watching online, and maybe you don't know Jesus today. Maybe you've never placed your life into the hands of God, the one who created you, who knit you together in your mother's womb. I gotta tell you, friend, the greatest decision you can ever make is putting Jesus first in your life. It's accepting him, knowing and recognizing the fact that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. We're all flawed. We all have made mistakes. We all have said things and done things or not done things that we're not proud of. The Bible says that because of the blood of Jesus, it says it covers our sin. So that way one day when we stand before God the Father and we stand at the gates of heaven, if we have confessed Jesus as our Lord and we believe in Him and we live for Him, the Bible says that our name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't know about you, but I want to stand before those gates one day and hear this, the phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And maybe you don't know Jesus today. Maybe you've never placed your life in His hands. Or maybe you have, but at some point you got off track. You went off the road. You got distracted. Life hit you hard. And experiences happened and you got off track. You can come back to the Father today. You still have breath in your lungs, God has a purpose for your life. And so right now, all across this room, I want us to pray a prayer. And if you're believing this for the very first time, the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Christ from the dead, Romans 10:9 is where you'll find that. It says, you shall be saved. Another part in that passage says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God was so generous to us by giving us Jesus. God became His own creation to bring us life. And so today we're going to pray a prayer for those that if you want to believe in Him for the first time or you're coming back to Jesus, rededicating your life, I want us to all pray this prayer out loud. A confession of faith, a confession of repentance, putting Jesus at the forefront. Let's say it together. Say, "Dear Jesus, come into my life. Help me to live a new life in You. God, I accept You as Lord and leader of my life. Thank You for saving me. And today I ask that You forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. In Jesus' name I pray." And everyone shout a big amen. Amen. Amen.